بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 12th of December in the year 2020 الحمد لله we moved on to the 6th session that we're going through the illustrious life of the venerable chief of Al-Khazraj Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu and I'm on the subsection in which I'm mentioning now some of the priceless blessings from the august table spread of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what Sa'd ibn Ubadah presented to him we have six to reiterate camel's brains sesame seeds raisins farid olive oil and barley bread milk and dates And yesterday I mentioned some of the amazing qualities of the raisins, which are mentioned in the various texts. With regards to milk, which was also served to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Tabarani in his Kabir, Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi states Hassan in Sahih al-Jami number 2929. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, treat yourselves with the milk of cows. For I sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put cure in it because they eat from all sorts of plants. Subhanallah. Treat yourself with the milk of cows. For I sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put cure in it because they eat from all sorts of plants. So this is the first report. The second, in Hakim in his Mustadrak Sahih, Abu Nu'aym ibn As-Sini, Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in As-Sahiha, number 1943. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, drink the milk of cows because it is a cure. Use their fat because it is a remedy. But beware of their meat. Because it is a cause of illness. Subhanallah. So note again, the amazing prophetic wisdom mentioned, but milk of cows is a shifa. And third, in Kanzul Umal, number 38,318, Khatib al-Baghdadi in his Jami al-Akhlaq, number 1,797, Hafiz ibn Qayyim in his Zad al-Ma'ad, 4-352, Imam Suyuti in his Jami al-Saghir, number 33,166, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Ja'far radiyallahu anhu relates. A man once came to Ali ibn Abu Talib radiyallahu anhu and complained about forgetfulness. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alika bi alban al-baqr fa innahu yushajju al-qalba wa yadhhabu bin nisyan. You should drink the milk of cows for it makes the heart stronger and removes forgetfulness. Subhanallah. You should drink the milk of cows, for it makes the heart stronger and it removes forgetfulness. So if you look at these authentic reports, milk is a superfood. But what have they discovered? Lo and behold, modern science has now categorized milk as a superfood for the memory and the brain in particular. For it contains the following, which all contribute to the healthy functioning of the brain. Vitamin B6, 5%. Vitamin B12, 15%. Calcium, 28%. Magnesium, 6.5%. Potassium, 11%. All praise be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such priceless blessings. So now, a few things before moving on. The milk quality can be gauged from two things. One is, what is the foodstuff given to the cattle? If you give it a healthy, you know, foodstuff, which is supposed to eat, because the Prophet said, because they eat from all sorts of plants. If you're feeding it rubbish, it's going to affect the milk. And secondly, of course, the health of the cattle. If that is given, the milk will have the full potential. And they shafa in it. The Prophet's words are final, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the wording is treat yourself, meaning you're already ill. You can only treat yourself if you're already ill, meaning even if you're ill. Whether in the other wording, he said drink because it is a cure. There's a shafa. But he warned, of course, against the meat. And of course, it is well known that this leads to high cholesterol, ailments, arthritis, etc., etc. But it is not forbidden. But you need to be careful not to get addicted, which Sayyidina Umar highlighted in Imam Malik's Muwatta. It has an addiction like wine. But note, Sayyidina Ali highlighted one of the great blessings of milk, and that is with regards to memory. Now, what's interesting? Yesterday, I mentioned raisins. Imam Zuhri rahmatullah alayhi said, "Man sarrahu, man ahabba an yahfaz al hadith, fal ya'qul lil zabib." Whoever it pleases or whoever it loves to memorize hadith should eat raisins. This is in Khatib al-Baghdadi in his Jami al-Akhlaq, number 1795, and I mentioned the references yesterday. So note that also is good for the memory. Raisins and milk combined. And what's fascinating, if you look at the Quran, in Surah An-Nahl, i.e. the Hunibi, Surah 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, he mentions milk. He mentions honey. And then he mentions the ailments of old age. Where what you once knew, you knew no more. Now what's shocking? The food stuff he mentions prior to that protects your memory. So the Quran is also hinting, honey, milk. It will protect you, i.e. in terms of losing your mental capacity. So note, the hadith of course explain this further. The other foodstuff which was given to our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dates. And dates, there's so many reports, but just to mention a few. In Kanzul Omal, number 21,891, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dates effectively prevent rib pains. Dates effectively prevent rib pains. Meaning breathing. Something to regards to the breathing. It will help you. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said in Kanzul Omal, volume 10, page 12, or number 24,191. Dates prevent appendicitis. Subhanallah. Dates prevent appendicitis. And similarly, our beloved messenger himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, eating dates in the morning before anything else kills stomach germs. Subhanallah. Eating dates in the morning before anything else kills stomach germs. This is recorded by Imam Suyuti in his Jami As-Saghir, number 6394. So one of the simple sunnats to get into your life is to have a date before you have anything to eat or drink in the morning. Just have a date. And the hadith says it will kill stomach germs, anything that may be in the system. And what's interesting, usually in the morning you fully digested whatever you've ate the previous night. But the effects of it may still be lingering. So what better than to have a date? Kill the stomach germs. Also in Kanzul Omal, number 28,332, our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha said that she heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, 7 ajwa dates of Al-Madinah taken every morning are effective in treating leprosy. 7 ajwa dates of Al-Madinah taken every morning are effective in treating leprosy. Now leprosy is a physical ailment for the skin. In fact, probably the worst ailment of the skin. Your lips start falling off, literally. 7 ajwa dates every morning from Al-Madinah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, will deal with it. In other famous reports, the ajwa protects from the evil eye. Think about that. How does that work? If you go to a lab, they'll tell you the chemicals, the properties are. The evil eye is in the property. Something spiritual of the ajwa dates. It protects you from witchcraft. Again, spiritual. It takes away poison. He mentions that. If you're poisoned, ajwa will get rid of it. It deals with possessions. If a person has been possessed, ajwa dates. All these are hadiths of the Prophet ﷺ. And to crown it off, one hadith says it's from paradise itself. Ajwa. So Ajwa is something which is called the Sayyid of the Dead, the best of all deads. Why? Because if deads are blessed, any deads are blessed. What about the king of deads? Where do you find the king of deads? Think about that. Isn't that a sign? Al-Madinah. So you can give non-Muslims, you know, Dawat. Say, look, the king of deads. Go and analyze it. And where do you find it? The city where our Prophet lived his life and passed away. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ajwa are the more superior dates than Al-Barni. Now what are Al-Barni? These are dates of the best quality. Red, tinged with yellow, sweet and luscious. That's the Barni date. Red, tinged with yellow, sweet and luscious. Now what do we know about Barni? Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of your dates is Al-Barni. It takes away sickness. Indeed, there is no sickness in it. The best of your dates is Al-Barni. For verily, it takes away sickness. And indeed, there is no sickness in it. This is recorded in Tabarani, Bayhaqi, Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 8243, Sahih. Abu Nu'aym in his Al-Tib, Ibn As-Sini, Ad-Diyah, Ibn Adi, Ar-Ruyani, Al-Aqili, Hassan, and others. So these are the hadiths. What have they discovered? Lo and behold, it is now proven that dates are rich in iron and potassium, which control the heart rate and blood pressure, thus preventing against strokes and heart disease. That's a fact. Secondly, dietary fiber from dates help to move way smoothly through the colon, plus helps prevent bad cholesterol absorption, which leads to cancer. It has an immense effect upon the digestive system. Thirdly, the iron content determines the balance of oxygen in the blood. Fourthly, potassium helps to control the heart rate and the blood pressure. Fifthly, dates contain vitamins A, vitamins B, vitamin K, and innumerable minerals. Subhanallah. But what did Abu Huraira say? It deals with it protects you from appendicitis. What have they discovered? Subhanallah. Appendicitis is when there is an obstruction of the appendix lumen. When this happens, the appendix fills with mucus and it swells, which leads to severe pain, even death if it's ruptured. Several studies show that a low fiber intake is involved in the pathogenesis of appendicitis. Where is this mentioned? I'll give you the reference. Refer to the effect of dietary fiber on stools and the transit times and its role in the causation of disease, 1972. And a second reference, fiber intake and childhood appendicitis, 2000. Subhanallah, dates are rich in dietary fiber, which prevents dietary LDL cholesterol absorption in the gut. It is also an excellent laxative, meaning it prevents the buildup which will lead to appendicitis. And how did Abu Huraira know that? In addition, it is rich in beta carotene, which protects cells from oxygen-free radicals, thereby preventing colon, prostate, breast, lung, and pancreatic cancers. All praise be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such priceless blessings. Dates, that's another superfood. Now what's shocking, this is the sadness. Why do we have to wait for them to find out? Once the Prophet said something, khalas. But because our iman's weak, we have to wait. And then when they start coming out with their amazing stats, we shouldn't be impressed. We should, in fact, feel sad. It didn't take this professor for me to confirm the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's turn to olive oil, another foodstuff given. So first of all, a hadith. In Tirmidhi Ibn Majah, Hakim states sahih to the criteria of Bukhari and Muslim, Zahabi sahih. Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Hassan in As-Sahiha number 379. Our beloved messenger, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, drink olive oil and besmear yourselves with it For it comes, and then he recited Surah An-Nur, Surah 24, verse 35. A'udhu billahi minash Min shajaratin mubaraka. From a tree most blessed. Let's look at this. So this is a sahih hadith to the criteria of Bukhari and Muslim according to Imam Hakim. Two commands. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, drink olive oil. Right? It's a command. Then his second command, besmear yourself with it, meaning on your skin. Then he explained the verse of the Quran. Min shajaratin mubaraka, from a tree most blessed. So Allah Ta'ala says, it's from a tree most blessed. Surah 24, verse 35. Two commands. Our beloved messenger mentioned about the consumption of olive oil. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It helps cure in 70 illnesses. And also leprosy. This is in Abu Nu'im, Jam'ul Wasail, page 205. So think about that. Even if you didn't know what the illness was, because this medicine cures 70 of them. It's bound to be one of them, right? Somebody goes, look, get the olive oil here. Right? And one was mentioned, leprosy. SubhanAllah. In Tabarani and Ibn As-Sini, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, treat yourselves with olive, because it cures piles, hemorrhoids. Think about that. You know, they've got this kind of cream now for hemorrhoids. But that's not a cure. All that is gets rid of the symptoms. Treat yourselves with it, because it cures piles. Every part of this tree is blessed. Our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Tabarani, the siwak from the olive tree is truly excellent, for it is from a blessed tree. It scents the mouth, cures scurvy. It is my siwak and the siwak of the prophets before me. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Think about that. That's not the fruit, that's the branch. The Prophet said, it is excellent. It cures scurvy, vitamin C deficiency. Imagine, not even consuming anything, but it's curing that. Sailors would dive into the sea because they didn't have oranges. They go mad because they didn't have the vitamin C, scurvy. Miswak deals with that. And it is the sawak of the prophets before me. Also, I think one of the brothers can mention something about the leaves of the olive.
The leaves of the olive, they normally taken, dried and turn into powder so that the consumer can consume the powdered olive leaf, because there's shifa in that as well.
Okay, so there's shifa even in the leaves of the olive. Anything else?
Blood pressure.
This one, yeah. Okay, the leaves are particularly helpful in lowering blood pressure.
Yeah.
The leaves, every part, the Prophet ﷺ is telling you, is blessed. It's a blessed tree. But the oil is the actual juice. Again, lo and behold, olives have now been classified as a superfood. SubhanAllah, endless signs of the prophethood from his unparalleled table spread. The peace and blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him, always and forever. Ameen. And also, another thing they found out about olives is that the Quran mentions that it lets off a light. And they've actually seen it from space. The plant, the trees of the olives let off a luminous light. Right? So, and then the Quran is likened to the revelation. And anything which is likened to the revelation is too much in terms of blessings. The citrus is likened to the Quran. And how many blessings are there in the citrus? So not olive, but again, you need to get the purest. So obviously there's grades of olive. You get the pomace, which is the lowest level. And then you get the extra whatever virgin. The better the quality, the better it is for you. So again, just regularly take a bit of the olive oil, get it into your system. And also, if you've got any skin ailments, wipe it over there. And also those who are suffering from witchcraft, and also the jinn, the shayukh prescribe that this should be wiped, this blessed oil, over their bodies. It troubles them. Right? So you're giving it, and you're putting it over the body as well. Why? Because it's a blessed tree. So now, question. Is it a coincidence that everything that was put on the prophetic table spread was blessed beyond measure? So that you can say it's coincidence. But why is it that not one of them was found to be bad for you? And that shows he's the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala is teaching you whatever he does is completely beneficial for you. Even what's on his blessed table spread, you know, subhanAllah. So again, I wanted to mention a few of those blessed foodstuffs which was given by the great Sa'd ibn Ubadah to our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, again, his generosity. But now turning to his generosity with the Muslim brothers and sisters. I've shown how generous he was to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's now turn to how generous he was to the Muslims per se. Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anhu's generosity was naturally not just restricted to our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For instance, in Ibn Asakir, Ibn Abi Dunya, Abu Nu'aym al-Hiliya, Kanzul Umal, volume 5, page 190, Hafiz Zahabi in his Siyar, volume 1, page 216, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 142-3 of the New English Translation. Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, in the evenings, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to distribute the men of Ahl al-Suffa amongst the rest of the companions. Some would take just one person. Others would take two. Others three. And in a like manner, some would take 10 from the Ahl al-Suffa. Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anhu would return to his family every night with 80 men of Suffa for supper. Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anhu would return to his family every night with 80 men of Suffa for supper. SubhanAllah. So let's look at this. So first of all, who are the Ahl al-Suffa? These were the companions who had nowhere to live. They just came to Al-Madinah to learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was the first university of Islam. A small platform was placed in Masjid al-Nabi for them. And the numbers varied, just like a university. But because these people were very poor, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would show great affection towards them. So here he would say, take as many as you can with you. So some sahaba would take 1, 2, 3, 10. Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he's like he's taking the whole lot. And he says every night, it wasn't just like special occasions. Is it Eid night? Come with me. 80, imagine. When do we feed 80 people? Right? Maybe weddings. Right? Or I don't know, maybe you know you need a special dua. Right? Just regular 80 people. That's how generous he was. Radiallahu. And notice, he feeds the pious. What was the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? May the righteous eat their food with you. In another report it mentions, in Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, volume 3, page 477-8 of the English translation in the chapter on the companions of Badr, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 133-4 of the New English translation, Urwa ibn Zubair, rahmatullah alayhi, he relates, I once saw Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anhu announcing from his dwelling, whoever wishes to eat fat or meat should now come to Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anhu. Later, I also saw his son, Qais, doing the same radiyallahu anhu. He further related, after the death of Qais, I was once walking in the streets of Al-Madina when Abdullah ibn Umar passed by radiyallahu anhu. And as he was proceeding to his property in the upper part of Al-Madina, he said to me, O Urwa, go and see whether there is anyone announcing from the dwelling of Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anhu. I went and I reported back, no, nobody's calling. Abdullah ibn Umar thereupon said, you are right, for no one could be as generous as that venerable father and son. SubhanAllah. You are right, for no one can be as generous as that venerable father and son. So let's break this down. Too many lessons. First of all, Sa'd ibn Ubadah is calling out from his house. So whose sunnat is he following?
His grandfather.
Grandfather. His grandfather would do that. So he's kept it from his house. So imagine, you know what? Anybody wants fat meat, come to this house. So what happened? Sa'd passed away. His son then continued the case that he had not. When he passed away, Abdullah ibn Umar, he was in Al-Madina. And look how interesting. He goes, go and see if anybody is calling from that house. Look how used to it they were. You could just, make, I just want to make sure, just go and check. So when Urwa, when nobody, so when Urwa came back, Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, look at the amazing place. You are right. Nobody can be as generous as that venerable father and son. So now who's saying that? Tie this up, right? You got to go through his life. What did Abdullah ibn Umar say? Nobody can be what? You got to know how generous he was. And then obviously, I haven't got time. He'll just sidetrack too much. But he just used to give left, right and center. Once he was very ill, because I fancy some fish. So then they quickly looked for fish, cooked everything, beggar came. He goes, I'm destitute, can you please help me out? Right? So then Abdullah ibn Umar goes, give him the fish. So they went, oh, father, dear husband, we went all this effort to make. He goes, no, give him the fish. Give him the fish. He later explained, he goes, I love fish. Now, what did he mean by that? Bill. MashaAllah. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran? You will never attain birr until you give what you love. Look at his piety. He said, I want fish. So imagine fish is hard to get hold of. Imagine where they had to go, what they had to do, what strings they had to pull, etc. Cooked it. Not like gas cooker, it takes a while. After all that, beggar comes. He goes, give him the fish. They went, oh no, he'd be happy with a couple of, no, give him the fish. He goes, I love fish. That's the one who's saying this about Sa'ad ibn Ubadah. He goes, nobody can be as generous as that father and son. So think about that. Praise from those quarters, praise indeed. Wealth as shown, now this is very interesting, but don't misunderstand it. Wealth as shown played a most integral part in this most blessed man's life. Hence, it would not be surprising to find out that Urwa relates that Sa'd ibn Ubadah would make this dua. Because I heard him make this dua. What dua would Sa'd make? Radiallahu anhu. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant me the ability of glorifying you in abundance. Grant me respect which is attainable by good deeds. And virtuous deeds are possible only by wealth. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I cannot thus depend on less money, nor can it be sufficient for me. This is recorded in Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, volume 6, page 254. What dua is he making? Notice, not often mentioned. So first, he goes, help me to remember you, mashallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Help me to do pure deeds, good deeds. But then he said, certain deeds are possible only by wealth. Isn't that true? I cannot depend on less money, nor is it sufficient for me. Basically, bombard me with wealth, because you know what I'm doing. In a slightly different report, he made the following dua after Salah. Hafiz Ibn Jawzi in Sifat al-Saffa, volume 1, page 503. Allahumma rzuqni ma la asta'inu bihi ala fi'ali fa innahu la yasluhul fi'ala illa al-mal. Ameen. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me such wealth through which I can fulfill my actions. For some actions can only be fulfilled through wealth. Recorded by Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi in Sifat al-Saffa, volume 1, page 503. So what was the great Sa'd teaching us? He's teaching you, we're not Christians. Unlike Christianity, Islam does not regard wealth as an evil. But rather, if used correctly, it further elevates one's status in the eyes of our exalted Lord. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Christians say the root of all evil is wealth. Do we believe that? No. The root of all evil is love of the world, said Hassan al-Basri. Wealth is not evil. But this is true. Most people don't know how to use wealth. And it's true. How many pious rich people do you know? Right? So that is true. But that's not a failing of wealth. It's a failing of the person. And this is why, how beautifully did our beloved messenger put it, to finish, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is nothing wrong with having riches if one has taqwa. But for the pious, good health is better than riches. Subhanallah. This is in Ibn Majah, Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Hakim Sahih, Mishkat. So let's look at this amazing report. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say? Nothing wrong with riches, as long as you got taqwa. If you haven't got taqwa, keep away from it. But then he says, but for the righteous, there is something better than wealth. Good health. Look at the conciseness of the way the Prophet said things, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, radiyallahu anhu, he was therefore going to be blessed beyond measure. How was he using that wealth? I've just described it. He's just taking it and giving it. Gijara, you know, I can't do these deeds. You got to open them floodgates. Allah Ta'ala opened them up. And what did he do? He's changing it to akhirat. Changing it to akhirat. Problem with this is we want floodgates to open and it goes straight into the bank. what the hell? No, for the rainy day. Right? It came out of the heavens. You're bringing it, taking it back into the heavens. And to finish, the famous companion Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad Sahih Hadith, he embraced Islam. The Prophet made him an Amir and he goes, I want you to go so you can get some money, acquire some wealth. So Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu said, Ya Rasulullah, I haven't embraced Islam for money. Because he was thinking that, because I've just embraced Islam, the Prophet I haven't embraced Islam for money. And look what the Prophet said. How good is pure wealth for the pure man. In other words, there's nothing wrong with money or amr. Now what's interesting, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some sahaba, he kept money away from them. Abu Dharr, you look at his life, it's like plague to him. Other sahaba, he was saying, how good is pure wealth for the pure man. So what's going on? What's going on there is, some of you are better off without wealth. Some of you are better off with wealth. Who knows that better than yourself? Right? Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would appropriately give to the ones. Abu Bakr Siddiq, his wealth was phenomenal. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Nobody's wealth has benefited me more than the wealth of Abu Bakr Siddiq. Because he has done so much favor to me that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can pay him back on my behalf. And Abu Bakr wept. He says, am I and myself and my wealth for any but you, O Messenger of Allah. Now think about that. That's a Sahih Hadith in Nasai. What did the Prophet say? Nobody's wealth. What about Sa'd ibn Ubadah? Nobody's wealth. Right? Meaning you can only understand what he's done when you go to the other great generous ones with the wealth given to them by Allah subhanahu. Nobody's wealth. No exceptions. I've paid them all back. But Abu Bakr, Allah Ta'ala has to deal with him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all I mentioned today was some of the superfoods which our beloved messenger had on his blessed table spread, and some of the things mentioned in this regard, which science has rediscovered. And now I'm mentioning or taking a glimpse into the generosity of Sa'd ibn Ubadah with regards to his brothers and sisters. And again, what an incredible life he led with the Allah, and what huge lessons we learn when going through the lives of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdi subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa nawasib alhaq wa nawasib as-sabr tawallahu